Oh, shall I tell you about the premise of the third book?
Yeah, that's what I want to get to.
Okay.
And let's do it right now. This is Judy Oates, and the name of the book again is?
The last book is called 2012 Reality Revolution.
Okay, here's the premise.
Okay. When you ask American Indians where they are from, oftentimes they respond, the Pleiades. And they say, before that time, we were from Lyra. And if they're true to their culture, if they still honor the old ways, most of them will respond in this manner. So, what does that mean? Basically, there is a premise, and a woman by the name of Jalila Starr has a website called Nibirunian Council. Are you familiar with Zechariah Sitchin's work?
Sure.
Oh, my God.
I fooled you. I'm finally familiar with something that you asked me about.
Okay. Well, he is so brilliant. 500-page books. If you read one, you are definitely convinced of the existence of the and the contributions of the Anunnaki. Now, interestingly enough, Jalila Starr is a woman who went through a process of becoming a walk-in. So she is a starseed, and she is one of the major representatives of the Nibiruan Council. It is her premise, and this also corresponds not only to her, but through my research, many individuals believe in which life began on Lyra. Now, at that time...
Okay, now, before you go any further, Judy, explain to some of our listeners where Lyra is or was.
It's a constellation.
Okay. Is it far from here?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we're star seeds from Lyra. go back. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. So, it is her premise how life as we know it in 3D evolved. And it's not just her premise, but many others, and the American Indians also believe in this, that there was a calling, so to speak, for people who had played universal games, because they feel that in evolution, games are the best teachers. So there were 45 carrions, which are like bird people, and 45 felines, which are like
Cat people
who responded and said, yes, we would like to engage in this experiment in evolution. So the carrions developed a hybrid race of the draconians or the reptilians, and they gave them a story, a creation story, that said basically they were to seek, plunder, destroy, that they were superior to everyone, and it was their right. The felines gave a creation story to the humans, who were their sub-culture, so to speak, that the important thing in life was to develop compassion and to serve others. Now, ironically, through many changes of the guard, through misinformation, through ages of supposedly trying to live together in harmony but not being successful at it, the human subculture basically attacked the reptilian subculture, and the planet of Lyra exploded. The same thing happened in the Pleiades. And this is what is considered the third experiment right now. So,
tell me about that when you get a chance.
And it is hopefully that we will learn compassion, which is the ultimate goal.
So the third experiment starts on 2012?
Yeah. It's, well, supposedly it's going on even now, that the hope is with the sun cycle and with the earth changes and with everything going on, that our consciousness will change, that we realize that we need to work with one another. The Mayans have said that all cultures, all religions, all races have to come together, because this particular cycle that we're in, which is a time of transition, that the light and the dark must merge. So the secret is this. What does it mean by the light and the dark? In the second book, there's a lot of information about Carl Jung. And
now,
how...
who's Carl Jung?
Now, you know about Carl Jung.
Okay.
How he spoke of the integration of the shadow, which is the lower self, which is actually the cumulative, if you believe in reincarnation, all of the things that we have done incorrectly to others and to ourselves, or to the planet, or in any regard. And the hope is that the shadow self, or the negative part, which basically dwells within the three lower chakras, where most of the energy and power is within the human being, that hate, that anger, that fear can metamorphosize into finer qualities, finer attributes, that you can reconcile these things so that these things can dissolve, so that you're no longer a carbon-based entity but a crystalline-based entity. And that is supposedly the goal. I guess what Jalila Starr was trying to say in the beginning was that the purpose of why are we here was taken from us. What is the goal? What is the game? What are we trying to achieve? And so you're trying to recall the objective of the game, which is ultimately compassion. But it starts, unfortunately, which is the hardest thing, with yourself, of dealing on your own, with your own psyche, about transforming all of the negative aspects before you can begin to start adjusting your attitude towards, let's say, our relationship with various individuals, not only on the earth, but also extraterrestrials. A lot of negativity has been expressed about the Anunnaki. A lot of negativity has been expressed about the Zeta Reticuli. Now, this is something that was very interesting to me. Let's say you're an abductee. A concept of metaphysics is that before you incarnate, that you make agreements not only with extraterrestrials, if that is in your fate, but also with other humans, so that your biggest challenges, your biggest lessons are actually taught by someone who loves you. And they take that dark role to be your teacher, to see that hopefully how you interpret it. So that was kind of a new thing for me to be introduced to, but I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever see The Dark Crystal, a Muppet movie?
Here, I'm going to have to say no again, but I'm familiar with it.
Well, it was many, many years ago when my children were really, really small, and my children are in their late 20s now. We saw the Muppet movie, The Dark Crystal, and it showed these horrid birds that were, you know, devouring humans and whatever on one side, and they were counterbalanced by the pure living light of another group. And ultimately, when the heavens were in a certain position, the two joined together, the good and the evil, and became a new race. It was something totally new. But also a lot of the things that, you know, that I've been discussing have been inferred to in The Matrix.
Yeah, so in other words, you feel, or it's your hypothesis, I guess, that this 2012 evolution that we're going through, and you write about and in great detail here, we blend the good and the bad, the good and the evil? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
will evil always be here?
Well, the prediction by Gordon Michael Scallion is that evil with the, when Earth changes conclude and the new grid is actually in place, which could actually happen around 2012. He said 1998 to 2012 is the time of transition. The Mayans speak of the time of transition with a conclusion on 2012. That there will be no evil and disease will end and polarities will end. And so the struggle now is the merge of the light and the dark. And, you know, it's a very poetic concept, and it took me a long, long time.
Judy, are you saying there'll be nobody trying to kill anybody, do people in? All of that kind of stuff will all go away?
That is what the American Indians believe, many of them, and also different psychics. It's not me, because I'm not psychic. And none of this work is really original, except for the fact that I've invented characters in a story around all of these concepts.
Well,
but
you've done their belief. You've done a lot of research.
A lot of research. I love research.
And when we talk about that, I guess we get to the definition of what really is evil. Maybe some things we consider evil aren't, and some things that we consider good aren't. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that we can get
into it. Well, there is no growth if you're emerged in one or the other. There's stagnation. In other words, if you lead a life of a monk, you aren't really challenged by the exterior world. If you're part of the mafia... It doesn't matter how much money you give to charity because you're still immersed, you know, in whatever. But it's more when you look at good and evil. Good and evil resides individually in each of us. And we have that potential. But could evil, and this was a very challenging thing to me, could evil be fear? That's in a negative realm. If we're going to stop, if we use the words positive and negative instead of good and evil, fear could be negative. Hatred is definitely negative. Violence is negative. It's basically, there are instructions. These are self-help books. It isn't like preaching or anything. It's subtly inferred with what one character may do and another character may feign. It's basically, there are definite suggestions of the integration of the lower chakras and the higher chakras and the techniques for how this can come about on a personal level. And it's basically changing a lot of your attitudes or interpretations so that you are not plagued, so to speak, by the negativity that may reside within you. And it's from a metaphysical perspective. And there are many suggestions, and it's not from one source or from one attitude. My purpose was to throw all of it out there, let you decide for yourself, but it'll definitely make interesting dinner conversation if you decide to put it all aside anyway.
Do you consider your work and your interest here to have any sort of religious connotation? I mean, is it going to be a high priestess Judy?
Oh, God, I hope not. You know, in fact, if anything, I really hated to put in the word spiritual in so many ways.
Well, I would tell you something. Not all my life I've done paranormal and spiritual shows. I've only dealt with both subjects in the last 10 years or so. And something dawned. I'm from Oklahoma, as you know. And,
yes.
And we have a fundamentalist influence in this part of the country. And basically, I was astounded that some of the spiritual beliefs are very akin to fundamentalist Christian beliefs or fundamentalist other things, only they're just discussed in a different way. I mean, we talk about good and evil and who's going to triumph and who's going to do this and life forever and et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't think you can get away from the subject. They're all kind of intertwined, at least in the human psyche.
I actually agree with you so much, Jerry. In fact, one of the families is a Spanish family. They're Mexican-American, mm-hmm. and they're Catholic. And they are having a very hard time with the New Age family in the story because they believe in the rapture. And yet, there are definite sections where you find out that what is defined as the rapture has some similarities even with, you know, the world of the paranormal. It's just exchanging words. There are also words in science when I speak of the holographic universe, you know, by David Bohm. And, you know, if you just change the words a little bit,
yeah.
it just starts tying in. I'm looking... if the Mayans say this is the time for all philosophies, all religions, whatever, to come together, we need to share, we need to exchange words, then that's what the book's
about. See, we're talking about 2012 being right around the corner.
Right.
And I don't see anybody in humankind that I know of, and I know a lot of people from all parts of the world. And we all seem to have a lot of hang-ups. I don't know how we're ever going to come together. Am I being too negative?
I think you're realistic, and it is truly my hope that even if there are devastating changes, because Earth changes implies that, and I did not dwell on any negativity within the book. It was primarily to say we have an enormous challenge. We are, as a society, I think Americans are so focused on what is within the 3D world, in other words, what your eyes see,
mm-hmm.
that we have not focused enough on the internal. And basically, if these things do come about, as far as the earth changes, etc., unless you have worked on yourself.
Hold on a minute, Judy.
Sure.
We have a fire alarm going off.
Oh, my.
I don't think it's anything, but right there we'll put a break.
Oh, yes.
And then when we come back, we'll pick that up.
Okay.
There. This goes off every once in a while in this building.
I understand.
There it goes again. It'll take them a couple of seconds to figure out what the hell the deal is. Okay, so I will put a break in here. We're coming back from the break.
Okay.
The name of the three books, Judy, or do you want to be referred to by the 14-year-old rock group's name?
Oh, no, I want to be referred to as Judy. I really wanted no credit at all for the books, and that's why I wrote under a pseudonym, and so do my children. It's just sharing of knowledge, I mean, of things that could possibly be from six different perspectives in each book.
Now, this book is going to be out in time for Christmas.
Well, actually, the two are available now.
Right, but the third book will be out.
And the third book, I hope, by January or February. It's ready. It's
okay.
Just that it needs to, you know, go to the printer and
okay,
whatever.
So we need to push the first two books right now, and then we'll do another show later.
That's right. I would love that.
Oh, well,
Jerry, if we find the secret entry to the pyramid, and supposedly there are three individuals who will go by these robots who have lasers, who are guarding the true secrets held within the Sphinx and the pyramids. And the entrance is supposedly has to do with the paw of the Sphinx, and it's forecast to be found within the very near future. And the three names of the individuals, which may not be their physical names, it could be, you know, even a spiritual name for them. They've already been identified, and the...
Can you give me those names?
I don't know, because I don't know who they are.
Oh, well, darn. But I thought we had an exclusive here.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
And when they enter, supposedly our true origins, which is commingled at all times with colonization from, you know, other planets and species,
mm-hmm.
will be revealed. And not only that, there's supposed to be a food source, that something will happen when you expose a seed, that within minutes it comes into maturation and it can feed in a most nutritional manner, you know, hundreds of people. There are so many exciting things of Atlantis rising in Lemuria and the tablets being interpreted, which are more like a
how would Atlantis actually rise physically?
It has to do with the fact that it's also projected that other regions will go under the sea, that have been too besieged by war and anger, and that it needs cleansing, either by fire or water.
Right, before the break, I alluded to, I didn't think we were to ever get to that point of peace, but I guess if some catastrophe wiped out certain groups, and that seems to be a thesis overall, in not only in the Bible but many other ancient documents, that pestilence comes on the society and wipes them out.
Yes.
Maybe that's the only way it works.
It may be. And
here I am back. You're a positive lady, and I'm a negative guy, I guess.
No. Hardly. No. But
we've only got 5 minutes here. There's several things you left undone here in this interview. I got to wrap up.
Okay.
First of all, let's go all the way back to L.A. and the ghost that warned you about the attack of the, was it the leopard?
The leopard.
Yeah. Have you seen this ghost anymore?
No. It definitely is still
there. It just inhabit
that
house?
I tried to release it, and I asked other people, and, you know, things that could be done and whatever.
By releasing it, you mean it was a captive of some sort?
Well, to release it so that it was not earthbound.
In other words, your theory or your idea or somebody told you or you just know?
Yeah,
I'm trying to find out about why this ghost, why do we have ghosts?
Well, the thing is, ultimately, I sold the house and I left. And, but the spirit did not
travel. Was it a guardian angel?
The spirit, I'm not sure what it was, but the thing, mm-hmm. when I look back on it, which sometimes when you're in the moment, you do not see it as clearly when you're, you know, but it definitely did warn, and I just didn't know how to read the signal.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel about wild animals now?
Oh, I love wild animals.
So you've forgiven this leopard?
Oh my gosh, the first thing I did after I was attacked, because in those days, you know, it was so important to handwrite letters to, you know, your senators and congressmen and whatever. I was trying to save the wolves and the pumas, and I would have never let any harm come to that leopard. It was a freak accident. The leopard slept with the trainer's 6-year-old daughter every night.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was obviously qualified as being extraordinarily tame. The fact that they took it to the beach for the first time, something must have happened. I don't blame the cat.
See, I feel I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I feel all of these wild animals that we dismiss, and even reptilians and reptiles and things, actually they have feelings and souls and intelligence too.
Oh, definitely.
I just don't think we understand.
Exactly. And I have been fighting for animal rights for forever, and I've rehabilitated, I cannot tell you how many different kinds of wild animals that have lived in my house and been so unbelievably polite. But
now the other thing that we've left undone, I need to follow up here, is you left your acting career long ago.
Oh, yes, because, you see, I'm 65 now, And when I graduated from college at USC, I found out very shortly at that day and time that in public relations that you were destined to be a secretary all of your life. So it was a very short period of time before, through just some unusual events, that I went into modeling with Nina Blanchard's modeling.
Well, it was a good way to make a little extra money while you did your research.
That's right. And also, you were set out to pasture at that time once you were very close to your late 20s. The industry was totally different then.
I understand. Now, finally, what's next for Judy Oates?
I don't know. I'm writing...
Okay, since we don't know that, and you got another project already, and we only got 1 minute left, I got to ask you about where in the grid. Is Massachusetts a good place to be in the grid?
Yes.
How about Oklahoma?
I would have to look at the map, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
I'll look that up for you.
You let me know.
I'll let you know, exactly.
Judy, thank you very much.
Oh, Jerry, thank you so much. I love my time with you. I appreciate it so very much.